Now, this week, I want to finish up what we did start last week. Do you remember what we talked about last week? We are God's child. That's a good thing, folks. We are God's child. We have God's power because we're His child. And we've already won in this whole spiritual battle thing. And so many times we get bogged down in the weight of the battle and we forget we've already won. Seated with Christ, and guess who's under His foot? The enemy, Satan. So folks, we've already won that. James chapter 4 and verse 7 told us that we are to resist the devil. Now, if we do that, and we looked at this last week, if we resist the devil, what does God say will happen to us or to him, the devil? He'll flee. He won't just go away. Yeah, he'll go away, but the way he goes away, he flees. He is no longer welcome, so he is not around. And so what's going on? If all of that is true, which it is, it's in the Bible, God said it, we've already won. God said if you would just resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Why do we struggle? I mean, take the we out of it, okay? And ask yourself this question, why do I struggle with this in my life? You remember, Satan, he knows your combination. And he knows just how to come at you and when and where. So why is it a struggle if all of those things are true? Let's recall James chapter 1. James chapter 1, look at verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, lust there is not a bad word. We generally think of it like an immoral type of lust. It's just a desire. And it could be a good desire, could be a bad desire. It's just a desire that we have. When we're drawn away by our desire, we're tempted when that takes place. So no one is exempted from this whole thing of spiritual warfare that we've been talking about. And I hope everyone understands that, because it's easy for us to think that we have risen above those temptations that we had when we were new Christians or baby Christians. The Bible says every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own desires. And so after being saved for many years and many years of Christian service, we still are in the spiritual battle. In fact, God warns us against thinking that we've risen above anything. 1 Corinthians 10:12, we looked at that last week. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. And it's perhaps the weakest Christian is the one who doesn't think they're weak. The weak Christian that knows they're weak, I think they're maybe in a little more powerful position than someone who thinks, I'm above all of this. And so not only are we tempted, but as we looked at last week, we face customized temptations. Satan knows our specific ingredients, our combination. Yours is not mine. Mine is not yours. He knows what he's doing when he comes at us. And here is the problem. Okay? Satan knows what he's doing, and we think we know what we're doing. We think we know what we're doing when we consider something and we make a decision and we think, yeah, I don't think this is that big of a deal. I don't think once or twice is going to hurt me. I don't think what I'm saying is all that bad. We think we know what we're doing. And sometimes we think we have it all figured out. We think we have conquered. We think that we stand. Paul said, beware when you think you stand. So let's continue where we left off last week. So we're told to resist in James 4:7. Resist what? Okay? So first of all, knowing what to resist. We need to know that. Did you know that in the Bible, we are never told to resist temptations? How many of you have the general understanding or idea that when we're tempted, we've got to resist that temptation? Raise your hand. Sure. Yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it? We're being tempted, so we've got to resist. I don't know of a single verse that tells us to resist temptations. And even this verse, James 4:7, tells us to resist the devil, not the temptations. I wonder how many of us, when I said that, had to stop and think about that. We're not told to resist temptations. We just suppose or assume that we're supposed to resist temptations. I think this highlights that maybe in this whole spiritual battle thing and winning over sin and not sinning and resisting the devil, and yet we keep struggling. And I ask the question, why do we struggle if we've already won and we've got the power and we're God's children? I think maybe we have the wrong focus. The wrong focus. Letter A. Maybe you're confused now. How can this be? How can I just have the wrong focus? Okay, you're trying, let's say you're trying to resist the temptation, okay? What is it? In your mind, you know what it is that you're tempted with, that you struggle with, and maybe you've struggled with it for so long, you now just excuse it and think, oh, well, you know, it's not as bad as other things, it's all right. What is that thing, that temptation, okay? It could be an object that tempts you. It could be a desire to gossip. And I say that because I think that's something that most Christians struggle with. Or maybe most don't struggle with it, and that's the problem. They stopped struggling years ago. Or, you know how we justify things? We'll call it a prayer request. Or I just want to share with you some things. I just needed to vent. I just needed to unload on someone. There, I feel better now, you know. And we have all of these things that we say. But sin is sin, all right? And if the person we're sharing it with is not part of the problem or the solution, then it's gossip. They're not in a position to do anything about it. Well, they're my prayer partner. No, they're your gossip partner. That's what they are. And so we really have to focus on this. We get the wrong focus sometimes. And it could be that, or it could be the lust, the desire to be happy. For some people, that's a really strong desire. They want happiness. Now, whatever it is, okay, it's in your mind. I'm asking you to think on that temptation in church. Oh, bear with me here. Do you know what every one of you is doing right this instant? You're focusing on the very thing that we want to resist. Now remember, this section here, we're dealing with the wrong focus. We're fighting a temptation. And right now, you're focusing on the very thing that we're trying to resist. Let me give you an example this way. Let's say that you're trying to lose weight, okay? Or you're just trying to eat healthy, okay? Stay away from Krispy Kremes. I know. Stay away from soda. Okay, you're not going to drink soda and you're going to cut back or whatever it is. Whatever it is, trying to lose weight, eat healthy, eat better, whatever it is. And you go to the Golden Corral, okay? Why you would go there, I don't know, all right? Well, they have healthy things on the menu, right? So you go to the Golden Corral and you get your salad with light dressing. Okay, and you take your salad and you sit down at the table right next to the dessert bar. And not just next to the dessert bar, but you happen to sit in the seat that's facing the dessert bar. And so the whole time you're eating that salad, you're not eating the dessert, you're just next to it, and you're facing it. You're looking right at those beautiful desserts with the chocolate, if chocolate is your thing, or whipped cream, or frosting, if that's your thing. All of those are my thing, okay? I'm just saying, gooey, ooey, whatever it is, it's my thing. And you're sitting there looking at it, and while you're eating, what do? Well, you're looking at it, and you're telling yourself the whole time, I won't, as you're eating your salad. I won't. I won't. I won't. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be strong. And you grit your teeth. You maybe even turn away for a few minutes, and you go back to eating your salad, and you're looking at it, say, no, I won't. I won't. I won't. One person put it this way, because that doesn't work. Okay, one person put it this way. That's like saying, hey, let's go to the Dairy Queen and resist Sundays. Yeah. It's not going to work, folks. We're focusing on the wrong thing. Our focus is wrong. The very thing that trips me up, the very thing that trips you up, is what you're focusing on. Now, if we keep looking long enough at what we're trying to resist, we're in trouble, aren't we? Those of you that try to eat healthy, you know what I'm talking about. That's why he says to not resist the temptation, because to do that, we've got to look at it. He says to resist the one behind the temptation. And when we do that, he will flee from us. So, in a sense, we do have the wrong focus. So what's the right focus here? All right, letter B. Turn to Luke chapter 4. I'll give you a second to get there. Luke chapter 4. The illustration of the right focus comes from the ultimate example of how to do this, and that's Jesus Christ himself. He was faced with temptations. That's right. We're going to the wilderness with Christ. He didn't try to resist the temptation. You're going to see that here. Well, actually, you won't see him resisting the temptation because he didn't. He resisted the devil. Look with me at verses 1 and 2 of Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the what? The Holy Ghost. That's important. I'll come back to that. Returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now, notice this. He was full of what when he went into the wilderness? The Holy Ghost. He was tempted even though he was filled with the Spirit. Did you see that? So, can we just stop, pause there for a minute? I'm going to press pause and just go back to what I said at the beginning. Paul said, beware when you think you stand, lest you fall. Those of us that have been saved for X number of years and have done all kinds of things and think we're so full of the Holy Spirit, we can still be tempted. And when we think we can't, that's when Satan comes up and gets us. Because we're not resisting the tempter at that point. He was filled with the Spirit. And notice this. How did he get to the wilderness? Who took him there? The Spirit. He was led by the Spirit to the wilderness. For what reason? To be tempted. Wow, this is really getting interesting, isn't it? That's really some encouraging information, isn't it? We can be filled with the Spirit and then led by the Spirit to be tempted. Now, it's not a sin to be tempted. We don't see that anywhere in the Bible. God doesn't even tell us to resist temptations. Hebrews 4:15, it says this, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It's talking about Christ. Christ was tempted. I said it's not a sin to be tempted. Christ was tempted. There's my proof. because Christ was sinless. So it's not a sin for us to be tempted. What does all that mean? Well, just because we thought it doesn't mean we have to do it. It's just a thought. It's just a temptation. Christ was telling his disciples what was going to happen to him after he died. Do you remember what Peter did? Peter rebuked him. And what did Christ say to him? Matthew 16:23, he said, "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." And that word savorest, another word for that is desire. You don't desire the things of God, you're desiring the things of men. How do you like that phrase, "Get thee behind me, Satan"? Once in a while I have people ask me, "What do you do when someone wants to gossip with you? What do you say?" Try this. Just quote Scripture. You can't go wrong when you quote Scripture. I bet they won't come around anymore. Hey, and here's this is something I saw on Facebook a long time ago. And I thought it was so true as I thought about it. If someone will share something with you about someone else, they will share something about you with someone else. So just be careful who your friends are. So Christ went into the wilderness to be tempted. And what did Peter do when he rebuked Christ? Or what did Christ say? He savored. What did he desire? Well, it fits with the verse that we looked at in James. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own desires. Okay? And that's what Christ was saying about Peter here. His problem, Peter's problem, he didn't resist. He didn't resist. Now, Ananias and Sapphira, they lost their lives in the New Testament. Not because of the thought, but because they acted on the thought. Okay? Now let's go back to Luke chapter 4. Christ is there in the wilderness. Satan spoke to him. It says he was tempted for 40 days. Now, the Bible doesn't say this. It's silent on this part. But I wonder, was he only tempted on three things? I mean, in Luke 4, it says he was tempted 40 days. There might have been a whole lot more temptations in there that God just didn't record. But he recorded three, and we see how Christ responded to them. Satan spoke to him into the mind, okay? Christ heard him. He heard Satan's wrong advice. The thought was in his head, so Jesus received wrong thoughts from whatever source it was, but he never acted on those thoughts. He resisted the devil. So my point is, receiving the wrong thought doesn't make us a sinner. It's what I do with that thought. Christ responded with truth from God's word. Every single time. What happened? Did Satan go away? No. He came back again. And at least another again that we have recorded in Scripture, at least three times. Satan will often persist. Our job is to resist. It's a quote I came across. I liked it. In the power of God's word and in the strength of the Spirit, our job is to resist. How? Not willpower. In the power of God's word through the strength of the Spirit. The word of God is so powerful, folks. In fact, God even tells us it's powerful. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's an amazing weapon we have. We're going to get into the armor of God here, I believe, next week. But that is the one offensive weapon that God gives us, the only one, the Word of God. And I've asked this before. I'll just throw it out there again. Whatever that temptation was that you were thinking of earlier, okay, I hope you're not still thinking of it. Distractions. Could you give me a verse of scripture to cause Satan to flee when that thought comes into your mind? Could you? If you couldn't, that's why we're losing. We're trying to fight Satan with nothing but our willpower. We don't have the sword of truth in our hand. Oh, we've got one. We just don't know how to use it, perhaps. And that's not a bad thing if we're doing something about it. If we're okay, I have this temptation. I need to find out what God's word says about this. So what did Jesus do? First of all, Jesus resisted with scripture. Okay, we see that. But not just any scripture. He didn't face a temptation and, okay, in the beginning, what God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Oh, no, he didn't just start quoting scripture. That wouldn't deal with the problem that was at hand right then. Jesus used specific scriptures for specific temptations. And secondly, Jesus didn't quote scripture word for word. Now, some of y'all are going to like this, okay? If you look at what he said, he's quoting, he's using scripture, but he's not quoting a verse word for word. He used the truth of God's word. Okay? We'll say more about that next week when we start looking at the armor of God. But for now, we need to know that we can use the truth of God's word at the moment we need it. So what is the truth of God's word about your temptation? Maybe you don't have the verse memorized, but do you know what God's word says about it? Jesus countered temptation with the truth of Scripture, and that's what mattered. If you can quote every word precisely, that's great. But it's not necessary in the heat of spiritual battle. But you need to have the truth of Scripture. When his temptation was finished, the Bible says in Luke 4:14 that he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Now, think about that. What a wonderful progression that just took place there. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. He underwent tremendous temptation. He resisted successfully in the power of the Spirit. And he returned empowered by the very Spirit that he was filled with. All of that's taking place in spiritual battle. And we're missing out on that when we just don't resist. Did you know that temptation can be one of the most empowering experiences in your life? When you stand your ground and you resist Satan in the power of the Spirit, and you come out on the other side and you're empowered more by the Spirit. You don't need to be afraid of an encounter with the enemy. What we're talking about here is the opposite, just the opposite of a grab the bedpost battle where you hang on by your grit and determination. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a completely different kind of battle where you're not battling with your own determination, but with the power of the Spirit. Can you have a measure of victory over temptation in the power of the flesh? Think about that. Can we have some victory over temptation with just our flesh? Yes, you can. Perhaps some of us know people that have battled substances, who have gone through various programs, and today they don't drink, they don't use drugs anymore, and they're not Christians. So they had some success through the power of their own flesh. But if the enemy tempts the flesh and you have victory over it in the flesh, guess who won? The flesh. Your flesh won, not God. It wasn't a spiritual victory. Your flesh won. And if you're tempted in the flesh and you fail and fall back, guess who won? The flesh wins again. There's still no victory for God. So how do we resist the devil? Number two there in your outline. So how do we do this? Now, as Christians, we don't have to resist Satan in the power of the flesh. God's provided a much better way for us. Wouldn't it be great if resisting only once would do it? We just resist one time and it's gone. But that wasn't the case even with Jesus. Satan kept coming at him. So first, we draw near to God. In the book of James, chapter 4, that first instruction is found for us in verse 8. It says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. This is what we are to do when we are tempted. Get close to God. Now think about that for a minute, folks. It's exactly the opposite. It's exactly the opposite of what we're inclined to do when we're tempted. Think about the last time that you were tempted. Was your first thought, oh man, I'd love to go to church right now. I'm getting this temptation. You know what? I think I'm going to call my prayer partner. We're just going to have a time of prayer and Bible study. It's exactly the opposite. When we're tempted, we're not inclined to draw near to God. We generally think, oh no, how could I have thought that? I am so bad. I have failed. This temptation's coming at me again. I want to hide from God. But God wants us to draw close to Him when we're tempted. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Isn't that beautiful? Remember, the temptation's not the sin. That's just Satan coming at us, trying to get us to sin. And when Satan comes at us, God is saying, hey, I'm your Father. Come to me. Let me help you with that. Don't try to do it on your own. I mean, how many of us as parents, when we were raising children, and some of y'all in here are still raising children, and looking at the Robinsons here, I mean, if Ben, when he's out away from you, you let him do that once in a while, right? Occasionally, all right? Yeah. Oh, he's up there. Hey, Ben, okay, change my illustration. And Ben's hanging out with some friends, and another new friend comes into the scene, and there's a temptation to do something that he knows is wrong. Wouldn't you, as a mom and dad, want him to come to you? Yeah. So does God. But you know how teenagers think, because we all thought that way. Oh, and guess what? We still do, okay? When we're tempted, when a teenager's tempted, the last thing they want to do is go tell their parents what they're being tempted with. And we do the same thing with God even as adults, don't we? And yet God says that's the first thing we need to do. When we're tempted, draw nigh to Him. So at the very time you feel most inclined to pull away from God, He's actually urging you to come closer. Don't worry about what you're thinking. Let me help you with that. And if you will do that, what does verse 8 say that He will do? He'll draw close to us. All right? So, second thing, we are to cleanse our heart. We're tempted. We draw close to God. And James 4:8 continues now. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. One author put it this way. It means, I got a little dirty in this whole spiritual battle thing, and I need to ask God for some cleansing. That's what God's talking about there. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Sometimes in spiritual battle, we're going to get dirty. And what cleanses the dirt off my hands? The blood of Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The blood of Christ. What's the song we sing in our hymn book? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He forgives. So we have to draw nigh to God, and then we have to cleanse our hands, purify our hearts. James says to purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now that's an interesting two phrases that he puts together. A double-minded person in this context is one who wants to walk with God and yet not deal with his secret desires that he has. Have we been there before? Yes, we want to walk with God, but there's that area of our heart that has got a lock and key on it, and it says no Jesus allowed because we don't want him in there. That's what the Bible calls a double-minded man. And we can see, can't we, how that doesn't make sense? The heart, the very thing the enemy uses to tempt us, we want to just leave that out of the picture. We want to walk with God, but not with our heart. We got things in there that we don't want to deal with, because to deal with them means we have to admit, confess to God that we have an issue there. So draw nigh to God, cleanse your heart. And then the third thing he says is to humble yourselves. When we have cleansed our heart, we have confessed our thoughts, dealt with the desire, then and only then are we ready to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And it's only then. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. What does He do in response? Pushes our faces in the dirt. How could you do this to me? You failed again? No. He lifts us up. That's that picture in Ecclesiastes 6. Woe to him that falls and there's no one there to help him get back up. In Proverbs it says the righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. And you know how he's getting back up every time? Not his flesh determination and grit. It's God. And because he's righteous, he's drawing nigh to God. He's cleansing his heart. And he's humble. He's righteous, so God lifts him back up. James tells us in chapter 4 and verse 7 to submit to God. Resist the devil. We do that by drawing near to God, purifying our hearts of sin and secret desires that we have, humbling ourselves before Him. Folks, it's a winning strategy every time. I just wished I would do it every time. How about you? And yet it's the winning strategy because it's in God's Word, and this is what God says will work. Resist the devil and he will flee. It works because it's God's strategy. He's not going to give us a battle plan that's going to fail. Now, next week we're going to look at how we prepare for the battle. I wonder, have you been losing your battles with temptation? Let me encourage you to get alone with God and pray this. And the words are going to be on the screen. Lord, show me where I'm vulnerable. Many times we don't even realize it. It's kind of like taking God's name in vain. Some people do it and they don't even realize it. I know I've preached on it before, or it's been in messages, and I kid you not, right after the service, I'll hear someone out there doing it. They don't even realize they're doing it. And we need to pray, Lord, show me where I'm vulnerable. It's kind of like what the psalmist prayed. Search me. See if there be any wicked way in me. God, expose what's in my heart that I don't even know is there right now. It could be your area of vulnerability. It could be worry. It could be bitterness. I don't know what your temptation hot buttons are, but I know who does. Satan knows. And God knows. And he can show you what they are so that you can be prepared to resist. So let's say I pray that and God lays on my heart or puts a thought in my mind of what my vulnerable area or areas are. Okay, so now what do I do? Well, how did Christ fight Satan? The truth of God's word. Now we've got to find the truth of God's word to help me in that specific area where I'm vulnerable. The best form of resistance is the one that Jesus used, the word. Find specific scriptures that speak to your need and be ready to use them when Satan comes at you. You can resist Satan and walk in the light. We just follow God's strategy here. Okay, so we're going to stop here for tonight and then go into our prayer time.